Lord, we ask that you bless the reading of your word this evening, Lord, and open the hearts of the ones that receive this word tonight, Lord, and for your glory and your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Gordon's rubbing off on me a little bit, I guess. Because I had this thought. And this thought is, if you turn to John 21, and we'll start in verse 10, but really my message starts with 15. But I want to read to what's above here so we get a little concept of what's going on here. John 21, verse 10. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which we have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Okay. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Isn't that beautiful? Come and dine. That's what he asked us to. Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was Lord. This is when Jesus came to him again. This is the third time, as it tells us later. 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So I like the part about they didn't dare ask, who art thou? I don't know, Jesus might have got a little upset at him. They should definitely know who he is, as we know who our Lord is also. Chapter 21, 21:15 is where we're going to start with. Okay, yeah, chapter 21, please. That's all right, you didn't. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Peter saith, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. We're going to stop here for a minute. We see here after the Lord had dined with them, the Lord goes and asks this question of Peter only. Lovest thou me more than these? So we stop here and think about, okay, what does he mean by lovest thou more than these? Okay? Now, when Jesus asks, lovest thou me, this speaks of a deep love. It's used of divine love. It comes from the Greek word agapes, right? And also when Jesus asks more than these, there's an ambiguous interpretation here, I think. And meaning, capable of being understood in more than one way. This may be used in the neuter gender. And he might have meant this. A neuter gender meaning that it was neutral, didn't have no gender, such as boat, fishing equipment, or as jobs, employments of catching the fish. Or it could have been in a masculine sense, referring to the apostles. Now, I think it was all of these things. I think Jesus didn't want it to be a general statement, and he does not make it a general statement because he's asking Peter, and we'll find out later on why he's so much into Peter here. He says, now Jesus referring to the attachment Peter had made unto Jesus before his death. You remember? Matthew 26. You don't have to turn here if you don't want to. I can just read it. Matthew 26. 33. Let's go up to verse 21. Matthew 26, 31. Then Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter had a great heart here for the Lord, but we see that he does offend the Lord later on. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, or truly I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. What does Peter say? Said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee, likewise also said all the disciples. And we know that what Jesus said here, he denied him three times, Peter did. And so, I want to go to John 13 before we go back to the other one. And in John 13, I want to read John 13, verse 36 through 38. This is just another, Jesus foretells Peter's denial here. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, that thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied me thrice. So even though Peter loved the Lord so much that in his heart, and he really did think that he would be able to do that and go all the way with the Lord. But see, it wasn't meant for Peter to go with the Lord to the cross. It was only meant for our Lord to go to the cross. Simple as that. It wasn't meant for Peter to do that. This was all on the Lord's shoulders. This is what he came down from heaven to do, the Father's will, and that was to take upon the sins of the world and redeem us from the fall of Adam. So, and then let's look at Peter's reply in chapter 21, back in verse 15. He says, I love thee, okay? There's a difference here. In the Greek, filio, I don't know how it's pronounced, this is a lesser degree of love than agapes. As we read the following two verses, you'll see that Jesus asked Peter again the same question, and what we see is Peter is humbled by the Lord's grace, okay? So he says, I love thee. And I don't doubt that he meant he loved the Lord. But this is a lower love. This is a humbling love that Peter is showing to the Lord. And the Lord's going to ask him. He's going to ask him this three times. And he's just trying to, I don't know if he's testing Peter here really, or he's just trying to test Peter's humility. Is he truly humbled by the Lord's grace? Does he really see all this wrapped together, what this means? And so Peter does become a great apostle, and he does go and feed the sheep and the lamb. He does feed the flock like he's asked to later on. So Peter is a wonderful disciple, really. It's been said many times that Peter's like, we're kind of like Peter in a lot of ways. We would love to go all the way with the Lord, but there's sometimes we come to a point where we hit a snag or something hinders us, and we stop, and we don't continue to go on with the Lord. We say, oh, we love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, but I just can't get over this hurdle. Well, you can get over the hurdle, or the Lord can remove the hurdle, but you should always seek the Lord. Continue to follow him and be with him. It's important that you stay. And this part of walking with the Lord, that this is part of our humility, is knowing that we have to be humbled by the Lord's grace. Lord's grace is so great that it should humble us, how great his grace is. And it's all because of his grace that we have the opportunity to run the race and win the prize, which is Christ. Lord's grace, his grace, brought Jesus all the way down, that we could be raised up with him. And that, you know, the sting of death was overcome by Jesus at the cross. It was a victory over death. So it's really important to be humbled. And we see that as we read these verses, and we'll read them here in a minute, Peter's humility of the Lord is becoming deeper. And then the third time, Peter's humility for the Lord is deeper yet. Because of Peter's comment, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." So he finally comes down. He doesn't say this before. He comes down and finally he becomes more humbled towards the end of these three verses here that I believe that he says, "Thou knowest all things." Now he's humbled to the Lord and to the Lord's grace that he's here to do the Lord's bidding. He says in 16, he said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." First time he just said, "I love thee." Second time he's a little more emphatic about it. "Thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." See, first he said, "Feed my lambs." If you notice, he said, "Feed my lambs." Lamb speaks of the young Christians, right? The young believers. The sheep is a more mature group. That's what I think anyway. I don't know if that's really true, but if it's not, Erlene can correct me here. But I think the difference in lambs and sheep, lambs speaking of young in the Lord, and sheep is being more mature in the Lord, more grown up in his word. And then he said, verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Peter is completely at this point, at this bottom of the 17th verse, is completely humbled now. He's completely humbled by the Lord's grace. And I really believe that his love, the Lord's leading him deeper and deeper into humility, therefore deeper and deeper in love with him. And I think that it's important, the humility and love that he has for Jesus deeper just because of this. The love, and I will say this, the love of Christ constrains us, right? It constrains us. And we know this because in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, it says this. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 says this. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he died for all, that they which should live, not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." It goes on to tell about it, that we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is wonderful. I want to go to 1 John. And like I said, that this was just a thought I had when I had read over this. And then I was looking for it, and I had to ask my wife where was that. But I knew she would find it for me, so she did. She helped me with this a little bit. So she got me started in the right direction, you know. Anyway, in 1 John 4, I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. Talk about a deep love, a true love, a genuine, a pure love. He tells us in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Verse 10, "Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and has sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And you can go on down further in this chapter. It was very, very good. And verse 17 said, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us, right? And then it goes on to talk about the brother. And it says, in this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So, you know, Jesus had mentioned that he thought of more of them as not only as servants, but as friends. They were so close to him, and he was close to them. Many times we know that we see the, as you read the word, you see the closeness of him and his disciples, and you can just see them just being close and tight knit and in love one for another, and just the desire they have to just be with Jesus, you know. And then when he goes away, he kind of confuses them because they want to go with him because they love him so much, okay? But the thing about it is, they did go with him. They're with him now, of course, we know. But we all will be with our Lord in due time as he sees fit. In conclusion, we know that Christ, well, I want to say one more thing. It is not the most confident pretensions that constitute the highest proof of love to Christ. And the happiest and best state of feeling is when we can, with humility, yet with confidence, look to the Lord Jesus and say, that you love thee. Thou knowest that I love thee. If you can say this really in your heart, that you love the Lord, I know we can. So in conclusion, we know that Christ questioned Peter's love, thus giving him the opportunity of canceling his threefold denial, okay? And so, you know, what amazed me about this was the Lord, the way he lays everything out and puts everything together. He covers every detail of what he meant in these three verses, and I'm sure there's a lot more here than what I'm going to bring out tonight. But we also know, right, there are two Greek words for love. We also know when Jesus questioned Peter, our Lord chose the higher love, okay? Because he is the highest love. Our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, is a higher love. While Peter, in his replies, humbly chose the lower love. But he still really loved the Lord. And I like to say, in closing, I want to read 1 John 5, verses 1 through 4. 1 John 5, 1 through 4. This 1 John, these books, they're amazing. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Love is the victory. Faith is a victory. But to have love for our Lord Jesus Christ, we all love the Lord. I know we do. And I just think that we want to be with our Lord. Jack Davis, how many times did you hear him say, I haven't got my glorified body yet. I want to go home. And you know what? The Lord heard his cry. And the Lord had mercy on Jack and took him home. And he'll have that same mercy on each one of us as we're prepared to go home. You have to be prepared at all times. And I think the Lord, he knows our time. He knows when he's going to call us up. If we go in the rapture, he knows that also. If we don't go in the rapture and we go by the grave before the Lord comes, that's okay too. Because you know why? We won't be in this ugly old world anymore. And we'll be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then when we get our glorified bodies, we'll be in our eternal state. And what a blessing that would be. And so I ask you this, what would you say if the Lord asked you, lovest thou me? I would say, think about that. What would you say? I would hope that you would say, thou knowest that I love thee. And praise the Lord. That's what he gave me. Just some thought I had about it. I really love that part about that thou lovest me. And so there's a song that brought, you can cut it off, Don. There's a song in on 128 in our song books. We don't have to sing it, but I just want to read a couple things in here. We can sing it if June wants to lead it. 128, sweeter as years go by. But I like the chorus. It says, sweeter as years go by, sweeter as years go by, richer, fuller, deeper. Jesus' love is sweeter, sweeter as the years go by. Now, sweeter as years go by, is he saying sweeter as years go by here? Of course he is. But he's also sweeter as time goes by in eternity. It's eternity. And it still will be sweeter each day with our Lord. So I don't know if you want to sing it, you can sing it.